And now we're ready for you, Tom. I'm sorry we're a little bit late here on the screen.
Okay. Getting the red blood treatment up here. I'm moving this to the center. Is that okay? That's where I want. I'd love to hear my wife say that a little more often. Whatever I want. Do you all know the story behind the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus? God, it's a great story. I wish I could think of the gentleman's name, but he grew up in Ireland. This is in the early 1800s. His family was well off enough that he went to university, came back to his hometown. He's excited. He starts his work, and he meets a gal and gets engaged. And the day before his wedding, they're out riding horses. And her horse, as it was going over a bridge, freaked out, bucked her off. She goes off the bridge and dies. The day before his wedding. Well, he was so heartbroken and tried to pull himself together and couldn't, and started just kind of wandering over many years and ended up in Ontario, Canada. I wish I could think of the little town. And he just kind of gave himself to widows and teaching young children, tutoring them. I don't know how he made a living, but there's still a statue in that city to him. And he did that for a number of years. And he was very content in serving God that way. And meets another girl. And they're engaged. She contracts pneumonia and dies before they can get married. At that same time, his father died over in Ireland. And he wrote his mother a poem, the song we sang, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful story? I wanted to talk to you just a moment, because I won't be with you again before Lent begins. Lent's my favorite season in the church calendar year. We're 4 weeks past Christmas. We're about 3 weeks before Lent begins. Lent, the 40 days, it's actually 46 days because I don't count Sundays, because Sundays we already celebrate, commemorate the resurrection of Jesus. So it's 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday, where we focus on the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, the central point, right, of our faith. 40 days because Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness in solitude with the Father, fasting and prayer, preparing for his time in ministry. But I love it because the death and resurrection of Jesus in Lent can be central to us in our focus. And folks do different things. You may have given up something for Lent or taken on something for Lent. But all, again, with to bring to awareness of us our friendship with Jesus, living life with him, and his death and resurrection. So I have a couple suggestions for you for Lent, and that's really my lesson today, to take on this Lent. If anything I say this morning, you kind of go, oh, well, oh, this could be your thing in Lent, and my focus would be that you would know more of the love of Jesus for you. That could be the focus. You would grow more into the love of Jesus. You might think, you've probably heard me say, Jesus loves you. That's Christianity 101. Come on, now, this is Pathfinders. We're ready for an upper level class. But what I maintain to you that if you're getting your doctorate, if your PhD in Christianity, the title of your thesis is going to be Jesus Loves You. A.W. Tozier said that most Christians that he knows are Christians because they have certain beliefs about Jesus, and very few have really experienced the transforming reality of the love of Jesus. Charles Wesley, John and Charles started the Methodist movement. They went to Oxford together, started the Holy Club, really into Bible study and living a life that would reflect Jesus. They graduate, they go over to the colonies. They have big dreams to evangelize the colonies. They go to Georgia and fail miserably. They're mocked, they're shot at, and finally Governor Oglethorpe himself says, get out of here. Charles Wesley got sick, deathly sick. They go back to England, he's in the hospital for a year. And of course they didn't measure depression back then, but he's absolutely depressed, in despair. He would say, I lost my faith. I could not find God. But a Moravian named Peter Fuller visited him regularly and kept speaking to him about the reality of Jesus and Jesus' love for him. And one day in 1738, he said, I got it. It overwhelmed me. I now know Jesus loves me. I was involved in Bible study. I could articulate the gospel. I was in ministry. But I never experienced the love of Jesus that I spoke to others about. So that's what I offer to you for this Lent. You know, some people say, you know, God, if I could just hear the voice of God. Voice of Jesus, say to me, I love you, God. Then I'd have no more trouble. I could believe it. I would receive that into my heart, just like Jesus did. He goes to his baptism and the Father speaks to him, you are my son, I love you. I'm so proud. Boy, if I could hear that, that would do it for me. Well, I want to suggest three things for you for Lent that you could hear in some way Jesus say to you, I love you. The first way is Jesus does speak through all that he has created, what we might even call nature. How does the Gospel of John say at the very beginning? He says, all things were created by him. And in fact, apart from him, nothing came to be that has come to be. Jesus made it all. So whether you see a sunset or a seahorse or a daisy or you're watching National Geographic or Discovery Channel and you see this unbelievable landscape or some obscure animal that only they have ever filmed. And the wonder of this creation by Jesus, all of it is the imprint. And you can't help but say it's all made out of love. You kind of come to that. Psalm 33:5 says, the earth is full of the unfailing love of God for us. The way Eugene Peterson says that, the earth is drenched in God's affection for us. So if there's a way, now February 15th is Ash Wednesday, so it's pretty cold today, but cold is okay, but it gets warmer, February 15th, and then you go into March, and Easter is April 5th, but it gets warmer. But if you could break away from our addiction to the phone, the attachment to the phone, or the sports teams. I'll watch the Broncos this afternoon for sure. The frantic pace we have, all that we have to get done, and you could take a walk. You could just take a walk. C.S. Lewis' Screwtape Letters. How many of you have ever read C.S. Lewis' Screwtape Letters? He calls it one of the greatest books he ever wrote. It took him 3 years to write it. He'd be writing and he'd get so frightened and so, this was so real to him, he had to set it aside and then he'd come back to it. The story of Wormwood, Satan's demon, his assistant on earth, is assigned a backslidden Christian. And the assignment is to keep the backslidden Christian backslidden. And so he goes to Satan. Satan gives him instructions, and then he carries that out in the backslidden Christian's life. Well, the backslidden Christian comes back to Christ. And now Satan is telling Wormwood, here were your mistakes. You made two mistakes, grave mistakes. The first one was, you let him take a walk alone. Of course you're not alone, right? The risen Lord Jesus is with you every moment of every day. He's with you for this walk in his creation. And maybe by February, late February, you get the warmth. We get the warmth of the sun in Colorado better than anywhere else I've lived. Maybe a gentle breeze in your face. Maybe you notice all the different shades of green. You know, they've done tests on the human eye, and they found that the easiest color on the human eye is green. God made so much green out there. And that's why blackboards in classrooms became green boards in classrooms back then, when we used to not have whiteboards or computers or whatever. So you begin to notice all this. Birds are chasing each other. You know, if you look at just kind of one square yard, just stop, and you see ants and you see bugs you can't name. It's all teeming with life. You've taken a walk with Jesus, and you realize it's all made out of love. But that, all the creation, just has this imprint. It's beautiful. But then comes this masterpiece. Not just in his imprint, but in his very image. You and me. And as you're walking, you realize all this has this imprint, but me, I'm in his very image. Wow, his masterpiece. You just begin to sense that you're in God's presence and your love in this beautiful creation. So sometimes during Lent, maybe you make a goal of once a week even, maybe twice a week, you take a walk with Jesus in his creation and just listen out. Second suggestion is, I think the best place you see Jesus' love is on the cross, right? I can almost hear him saying, please know I love you, as he's on the cross. He was pierced through for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment for our well-being fell upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. If you focus on Jesus on the cross, you have to ask, what's he doing there? Why is he there? And Hebrews 12:2 says it so succinctly in one sentence, that Jesus endured the cross and suffered its shame for joy. And what's his joy? It's you and me. It's removing the only barrier between his love and us, that being our sin. That's why he's on the cross. I think that's why Paul probably says, I'm determined to know just one thing among them, Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's where he's most excellent. That's where his majesty is. He even says, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. Greater love is no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends. The cross tells me three things. Something's more wrong with me than I thought, is the first thing. Sin's effect is huge on us and in our hearts, our alienation from God. Secondly, it tells me I'm of more value than I ever thought. God's own son he gave for you and for me. And third, it tells me I never have to wonder again, does Jesus want me? Does Jesus love me? The focus on the cross. How do we focus on the cross? My suggestion is that your reading in the scripture during Lent is from the triumphal entry on in all four gospels. Matthew chapter 21 through 28. Matthew 21 is when he rides into Jerusalem, all the way to the end. Mark 11 through 16. Luke 19 verse 28 starts the first is Zacchaeus. 19:28 is the triumphal entry to the end of Luke. And John, just over almost half the gospel, is Jesus' last night with his disciples, starting in chapter 13 of John through 22. So Matthew 21, Mark 11, Luke 19, John 13. If you just read a little bit of that every day, you'll barely finish. And when you look at Jesus' passion being suffering, again, you're just kind of swept up in, why is he going through this? Out of love for you and me. In other words, the focus on Lent would be growing more into Jesus' love. First way, take a walk. Second way, focus on the cross. And here's the third way. I had a counselor friend that one day we were having lunch, and I said to her, are there things in common among your clients? I mean, I know everybody's story is unique, but are there things in common? She said, oh, yes. She says, the main one is, I tell them, you've got to get your self-talk right. Because there are lies that they have adopted and come to agreement with and believe to be truth for them. But they are lies. I read the other day, again, I've said it before, I probably said it to you all, someone said, we hear 60,000 voices a day, you and I, and 45,000 of them are negative. We've got to get our self-talk right. Well, what's right? God's word is right. What God says about us is right. What God says about Jesus' love for us is right. So I have made what I call my beloved chart. It's in bookmark form, and it's just God's word. We've got to get our self-talk right. You put your name at the beginning. I have these for you over on the piano. I know we're 3 weeks before Lent, but my suggestion is you read, if you read this every day during Lent, wow, I think God would help you grow more into knowing his love for you. I'm going to read it. Your name, Ty, you're the truest, most real thing about you is you're my beloved son or daughter. And then I have scripture. I formed your inward parts and I knitted you together in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, scripture. In my image, scripture. Made a little lower than the angels and crowned with glory and honor. Psalm 8:5. You're the apple of my eye, Psalm 17:8. And I delight in you every day. Psalm 16:3, 18, 19, Proverbs 8:30. You're my beloved, and my desire is for you. Psalm 7:10. I have called you by name. You're mine. You are precious in my sight, and honored, and I love you. Isaiah 43. My love for you is the best part of your life. Psalm 63:3. Just as the Father has loved me, that's how I love you. Now make your home in my love for you. John 15:9. Nothing, I promise, will ever separate you from my love for you in Jesus Christ. Romans 8:38-39. You did not choose me. Rather, I chose you. John 15:16. Let's live together as friends, as companions. John 15:13. I'm with you every moment of every day of your life, Matthew 28:20. I gladly give you my spirit, John 16:7. With him, I lead you, guide you, and I'm writing a beautiful story of your life as you trust me. Lots of scripture there. In me, live, move, and have your very being, Acts 17:28. I'm committed to your happiness and fulfillment and to your wholeness. Nothing less. Lots of scripture there. Above all, know always I am for you. Romans 8:31, Psalm 56:4. And be assured in your innermost being of my relentless love for you. Ephesians 3:14-19. I am, and my love for you is the rock on which you can build your life. Matthew 7. The bookmark, the beloved charter. Read it every day during Lent. Okay. There are lots working against us, right? I could go through them all, but the main one is Satan would do his very best to kill, steal, and destroy, a roaring lion seeking to devour our souls. What would he want more than anything? For you not to know in your deepest being that Jesus loves you. For you not to experience personally, really, the transforming reality of Jesus' love. So, again, I will finish with God's word to you. 1 John 4:4. Be encouraged. Take heart. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Matthew 28:20. I am going to be with you every moment of every day that you live. 1 Peter 2:25. I will be the shepherd and the guardian of your very souls. Lamentations 3:22-23. The Lord's love for us never ceases. His compassions never come to an end. They are new every morning because God is faithful. Psalm 36:7-9. How precious is your love for me, O Lord. Your children take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill from the abundance of your house. You give them to drink from the river of your delights, because you are the fountain of life. Psalm 23:6, David's song. Surely your goodness and your love for me relentlessly pursue me all the days of my life. In John 3:16, where you will substitute again your name instead of just saying general the world. For God so loved your name that he gave his only begotten son, and whoever trusts in him with their life will have eternal life. Okay, there's Lent for you this year, my exhortation. Right? Take a walk. Read the Gospels and the Passion of Christ so that you know you see Jesus on the cross, his love for you. And read the Beloved Charter every day. Amen.